Which is a more likely reunion, Vinny? Mauricio Pochettino and Tottenham or Vinny Perth and Dundalk?
There was the setup. I see it.
OTB AM. Weekdays from 7:30 AM. Listen on the OTB Sports app. The OTB Podcast Network with GetSet Go. Are you ready for quick start car insurance? Get a quote today at GetSetGo.ie.
We're going into the second half of Group D today, which is going to see Scotland and Czech Republic up. We're going to start with Scotland. Let's get ourselves 90 seconds to go through the cheat sheet. So, 23 years since their last appearance at a major tournament, Scotland are back at the Euros. They finished third in their qualifying group, 15 points behind Belgium, 9 points off Russia. But praise the Lord for the Nations League. A penalty shootout win against Israel and another penalty shootout win against Serbia booked Scotland's ticket to Scotland. They've got home advantage for two of their group games, but on June the 18th, put this in your diary, it is England versus Scotland at Wembley, 25 years on from Yuri Geller using Wingardium Leviosa on Gary McAllister's football. If points were given out for being a sound bunch of lads, Scotland would top this group, but the fact of the matter is that they have never got out of a group at a major tournament. That being said, this bunch of Scotland player, which includes Andy Robertson, Kieran Tierney and Scott McTominay, suddenly looks like their best team of this century so far. And after teaming up with Fred in an attempt to conquer the world, McTominay has actually largely been used in a back three by Steve Clarke in recent matches. And this has been quite the spell for Clarke as well. On a coaching level, we all tend to associate him with being Jose's assistant in his first stint at Chelsea and then taking West Brom to their highest ever Premier League finish a few years later. But his last job before the national gig was with Kilmarnock, where he took them to third in the Scottish Premiership in 2019 and picked up all of the Manager of the Year awards. He is now the first man since Craig Brown to take Scotland to a major tournament. As ever, let's have a look at the kits. This is the home kit. Nice motion there. Evoking memories of waves, maybe. Something, I don't know, something representative of the sea. And then there is the away kit. Diagonal stripes, because why not? Doesn't move me.
No.
Either of those kits.
No, I think that the Scotland kit could be really amazing, but that is, they're not good versions of it. What about the team, though, Owen? What about the team? Tell us, this is a good team. This has, like, this is the opposite of us. This has good players playing really well, in contention for the player of the year at their respective clubs, doing good things on the highlight. You'd see them a match of the day from time to time.
Yeah. It's a good, how many match of the day highlights is a country getting is a good indicator of a team in this part of the world and how well they're going to do at a tournament. Like, it does sort of feel that this has happened a little bit by accident with Scotland. Like, obviously, one of their worst spells in recent memory comes when Celtic and Rangers are doing quite well at the start of this century. And you'd wonder if that actually is a direct link to the national team's fortunes, where they're signing players from around Europe and maybe the local talent doesn't get enough of a shot. Maybe with Rangers and their struggles and Celtic perhaps not being the force that they were 15 years ago or 10 years ago, maybe that's helped things. But it does feel that this generation has kind of surprised people, that they do have someone like Andy Robertson who has all of a sudden become one of the best fullbacks in the world. I don't think Tierney's progression has surprised anybody who's watched Celtic over the years. He's obviously come through at Arsenal and become Arsenal's most important player, to be honest with you.
How did they get them in the team together?
Well, I mean, this is a very similar question to how do you get Matt Doherty and Seamus Coleman in the team together?
It's a slightly higher level that they issue that they have, right?
It is, but it felt like a similar problem under Mick McCarthy and maybe in early Stephen Kenny. Like, it did feel that, like, Matt Doherty was one of the best right wing backs in the league at that point, and Seamus Coleman was Seamus Coleman. So back then it felt like a similar enough thing. What Scotland have done is play a back three, and Kieran Tierney plays on the left of the back three and Andy Robertson is on the left wing. In front of them they've got Ryan Fraser on the left of a front three, so like, expect Scotland to just be like, screw you to the right-hand side of their entire pitch. We're playing the ball on the left-hand side because they are clearly our best players. It is, as I mentioned there, that the Scott McTominay decision to play him on the right of the back three it seems like a mad one, but when Scotland are in possession against weaker teams, obviously Scott McTominay just steps up into midfield and it makes a bit of sense. Now, in fairness, he has been played in midfield a few times, so don't be surprised if he does step up back into midfield, especially given the fact that the three teams that they're expected to play, two of them, especially England and Croatia, are expected to beat Scotland. So maybe that change happens. But alongside Grant Hanley and Kieran Tierney, that is a pretty well stacked back three.
Where's the England-Scotland game?
The England-Scotland game is in Wembley.
Right.
So all of England's games, with the exception of their quarterfinal, are in Wembley. This is a home tournament for them. One thing I would love to see, it's not going to happen this tournament, is a midfield three of McTominay, McGinn, who scored 7 goals in qualifying, by the way, their top scorer, and Billy Gilmour in a midfield three for Scotland. Obviously, their formation means they probably will never play a midfield three, but maybe it's one for the future. Gilmour is in the squad. He hasn't played for Scotland. He's obviously been injured a lot this season. You suspect if he wasn't so injured, he would have been a bigger part of Chelsea's season under Frank Lampard, and he probably would have been a bigger part of Scotland's qualification, but he's still a kid and he's certainly one for the future. Outside of that, really, like, I mean, you look at that midfield and even some of the backups they have are pretty good. John Flex, Stuart Armstrong are in the squad. Callum McGregor and John McGinn are probably going to be the two that actually start in midfield. But you're right, like, you look across the Premier League and it's like, recognise that guy, recognise that guy, recognise that guy. And that just goes for their bench. They're in a really strong place. And, like, the expectation of Scotland is that they can really give this group a good rattle.
What do you think, give me a prediction.
I think they'll finish third in this group, but I think they'll go home. I think this will be I think this will be the group where the third place team does not go through, unfortunately, because it's just so good. I think that we'll get to the Czech Republic later. They've got some really good quality coming through as well, and they're starting to come out of their slumber a little bit. And England and Croatia are obviously top class. So what you need is somebody who's going to lose all their games at the bottom of your group. And whoever's in third gets 3 points and gets out of the group. I wouldn't be surprised if Scotland comes second with maybe 2 points. But if they get a win, I think they'll go through. But third place in their group and go home after the group stages, unfortunately. Are we ready with the 90-second timer for Czech Republic? Let's go. So, Czech Republic qualified for this tournament automatically, despite being awful away from home, where they lost to Bulgaria, Kosovo, and lost 5-0 away to England. At the last Euros, they crashed out in the group stages without a win, and they have not qualified for a World Cup since 2006. So it's all nostalgia now for the Czech Republic. They were finalists at Euro 96 in their first Euros post-Czechoslovakia and semi-finalists in 2004 with that brilliant team that you can see on screen of Czech, Nedved, Rosicky, Poborský, Baroš and Koller. But the interest of the national team has recently dwindled, with the home game against England and qualification failing to sell out. But this is their 7th Euros in a row that they've qualified for, and West Ham United have given them the kick that they needed. Vladimír Šufál and Tomáš Souček were two of the main stars during a brilliant season under David Moyes this year. And maybe Souček, the Czech Fellaini, didn't get as many of the Team of the Year plaudits as one Mr. Declan Rice, simply because he's not English, but who's to say? Despite being able to name 26 players in your Euros squad, Jaroslav Šilhavý has elected to name just 25 players in his squad. He has kept one space open for Andrej Kudela, who is taking his case to the Court of Arbitration for Sport. He's the guy who was found guilty, allegedly, of racially abusing Glenn Kamara of Rangers in the Europa League. UEFA have heard an appeal, and he's taking it to the CAS after UEFA upheld the appeal. And clearly, the message from the Czech Republic is, you're welcome into our squad if and when you get off the hook. So we'll get to our prediction later, but let's just say there are some teams you wouldn't mind seeing getting battered in their group stage matches. Here's the home jersey. It's crap. Here's the away jersey. Even worse. Czech Republic, there you go.
Okay, fourth to four in that group and going to finish last. That's your prediction?
I think so. They've got a couple of good players, obviously. We mentioned the two West Ham boys. Patrick Schick up front is a really good player with Bayer Leverkusen. Matej Vidra of Burnley's in the squad. Probably won't start, so they've got a bit of depth in that centre-forward position. And Alex Kral of Spartak Moscow, with a David Luiz hair, who you'll have seen in the team photo at the start, will play in the holding midfield role. So they'll be a ridiculously tough nut to crack for all three of those teams in the group. But I think they're going to finish fourth and go home. But as I say, if Kudela is in that squad, keep an eye out for that reception in Scotland in particular. Right. They play Scotland in Hampden.
The OTB Podcast Network with GetSetGo. Are you ready for quick start car insurance? Get a quote today at GetSetGo.ie.